I want to talk today about healing. I was in Slovenia, and when we go over there, and Serbia, and wherever we go, you know, very often after we finish preaching or teaching or whatever we do, somebody wants to be prayed for, and people will invite you over to pray for their relatives. I've been to the hospital to pray for people that were in comas. We've done several things in Slovenia, you know, and it's very often we're praying for the sick. And so the last time I was there, of course, we prayed for the sick, and we've been taught well. I would say that we've had the privilege to listen to some very qualified ministers, being Pastor Wayne, Keith Moore, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland and his group, you know, all of these guys. So we've definitely learned some really good things. So I believe we've been trained, even the hunters and different ones, how to minister to the sick effectively. But I was just moved by the fact that I wasn't seeing enough instant miracles. Okay? And I'm thinking, why? Why not? Now, I know I've been taught faith plays a big role. Where is that? What has that person learned? Are they getting it on their faith? Are the gifts of the Spirit moving? All of these things play a role. But it doesn't change the fact that I want to see people healed. When they come up front and they ask for prayer, they are saying, please help me. That's what they're doing. And my heart is... I'm wanting to align with Jesus, you know, in this way and just say, I want to help you. I don't want to see you leave the same way you came in. You know, it's just the heart of love, heart of compassion, heart of God. And so I said, how do I change that? How do I actually see more results when we pray for people? Now, the ideal thing, what we've been taught in the Word of Faith Church, is you take somebody aside, you teach them, you minister to them, you work with them, you show them how to use their own faith, because, let me tell you, getting in it on your own faith is far better than getting it by the gifts of the Spirit. Yes, you get healed, but yes, you can resist better when it comes back. So getting it by your own faith is the better way to get healed. No doubt there. And so sitting and working with someone and talking with them and helping them and giving them not just an instant miracle but a lifetime of help is a better option. But getting them well is the immediate need. How do I meet that immediate need? When we're over there ministering, we don't always have a chance to take time and spend an hour with them, stirring up their faith and helping them. There's five more people standing there, and as soon as you finish those five, another five will come up to you. So you don't have time to just sit there and minister. But these people are sincere. What are they sincere about? They want their physical condition to change. They want to see healing in their body. So how do we help them actually receive healing in their body? And I just want... all of this started because I wanted to help. You know, I just want to help these guys that come up there asking for prayer. And so I said, what do I do? What did Jesus do? So I went to the New Testament and I started looking up every passage where somebody got healed. And every passage where somebody got prayed for or ministered to for sickness of or disease of some sort. And I said, what was some of the key things that I saw in there? And how did Jesus minister to all of these people? And so that's where I went. I went to Jesus' ministry. How do I get Jesus? What did Jesus do to be so successful? So in looking at all the passages... there were some that just really stood out to me, some that were amazing and just really, wow, look at that. That's just incredible. And so one of the first verses that just really caught my attention was in Matthew 8, verse 7. And it's the story of the centurion. Do you remember the story of the centurion and his servant? If you read this story in all of the Gospels, it's not in every one, but the centurion story is in Matthew 8, it's in Luke 7, and it's in those two passages there. And so in Matthew 8, in Luke 7, it says that he sent a representative. He didn't even go himself, but in Matthew 8, it says he came. So I don't know which one was absolutely accurate, but here the centurion says, he comes and he requests of the Lord. And before I go too far in the verse, Matthew 8, 7, let me share this. I noticed this was very common for people that came and stories about people getting healed. They were crying out to the Lord. Okay? They came to the Lord. They said, please come and heal my servant. Come and heal my son. Come and heal my daughter. Please come and heal my mother-in-law. Please minister. Please help. That was one of the big keys. People came to him. People came to Jesus. People were looking for Jesus to help them. And there's a lot of times you're going to run into someone who's just wanting their situation to change, but they're not necessarily coming to Jesus. So that's a big factor. You know, are they really wanting Jesus? Do they really believe that Jesus is the answer to their physical problem? So that's the key factor there. But what I saw in this verse, Matthew 8, 7, it was just amazing. Jesus says, the centurion says, come pray, you know, come heal, or come get my servant healed. They didn't say, come pray for him and let's see what happens. They were asking, change the situation. Change it. Don't leave it the same when you leave. Change the situation. This was their heart's cry. And I think God really hears his kids cry out too. Yeah. All of these people, their cry was, change my physical situation. And whenever I'm standing up front and someone comes and they're sick, my heart, if I really have the heart of God, then my heart too is, I want to see your situation change as well. Because I believe that's God's. He doesn't want to see his kids suffer. Now, this verse, Jesus, as soon as he hears about the servant, he tells the centurion, I will come and heal him. You see that in Matthew 8, 7? He says, I will come and, what's that word he uses?
Heal.
Heal him. I caught myself saying, let me pray for you. Let me come and pray for them. Let me pray for your situation. Let me pray for you. Now, James chapter 5, it says, pray for the sick. But it's talking about pray the prayer of faith. Anoint them with oil and pray for them. But it's talking about praying the prayer of faith, not just praying a prayer of hope. You know? But Jesus didn't say pray. He's going to come pray for the sick. He said, I'm going to come heal him. What confidence. What assurance. What boldness. I mean, he didn't even think that this guy was going to be the same when he left. He knew that when he came on the scene, he was going to change it. This is bold. And this is what I want to have. I don't want to say, let me come pray for them. I want to say, let me come heal them.
Yes.
I think when you say, let me come heal them, even that imparts faith into the people. So that was one of the things that just really stood out to me. And I've since then, in the last 4 weeks, I've really had to change my vocabulary, change what I was saying. I had to change, instead of saying, I prayed for the sick, I had to start saying, I healed the sick. My job is not to pray for the sick. My job is to heal the sick. Do you remember in Matthew 8, or Matthew 10, let me find where it is. Jesus spoke to, Matthew 10, 8, he spoke to the disciples, and he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. He doesn't say pray for the sick, does he?
No.
He said heal the sick. And see, Jesus wouldn't tell us to do something we couldn't do. So my thought on this is, obviously, I could do a better job of ministering. And I should have more confidence that when I go to minister to the sick, I'm going to see more results. Because Jesus didn't say, go pray for them and I'll work it out if they're ready. He said, go heal them. And if he said, go heal them, then that means I can have confidence that that situation is going to change. I can believe in him. Now, I'm talking to two groups of people. I'm talking to people that are going to be laying hands on the sick and healing the sick, and also people that may be looking for healing in their body. You can be assured also that if Jesus is sending us to heal the sick, then obviously the sick are going to be getting well.
Yes.
We can have confidence in this. So this verse just stood out to me. I will come and heal him. It spoke of faith. It spoke of boldness. It spoke of confidence. It spoke that healing is God's will and sickness is not. Because everywhere Jesus went, he did the will of the Father. If he said, I'm going to come heal him, it was the will of the Father for that guy to be well. So this was pretty amazing to think about. Now here's some keys that I did notice in studying all the different passages. Who can think of some of the stories about healing in the New Testament?
Woman with the
issue of blood. Give me another.
Blind
people got healed.
Walking
lepers. Lame people walked. Lazarus was one of them. Demons were cast out of people and people got healed. Mary Magdalene.
Blind eyes opened.
Hearing.
People heard. Uh-huh. You know, it was said of the one blind man that was blind from birth. The scripture says, in all of history, no one who had been born blind had had their eyes opened. This was the first record of it. That was the verse. I can give you...
Bartimaeus?
I believe so. I'm looking here.
Yeah, the part where they said, did your parents sin? They asked, was it your parents who sinned? You know, the reason that he was blind, and Jesus answered, no.
You're right, it is not Bartimaeus. It is the man born blind, which is different from Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was a blind man on the road, but he too was healed. And that was a story of faith in itself. But it says in John 9:32, since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. This is the first time anybody had ever done that. And that got people's attention. What's that?
What's the rest of the scripture?
That's just that one verse. We're talking about the man born blind. I don't have that one right here on my notes. Verse 31, I don't have it. But yeah, it's talking about the man who... Yeah, it called him a prophet, yeah.
But, you know, more or less, they said it couldn't... Somebody like that couldn't be of the devil. If they're healing the blind that they've never seen before.
They were arguing whether he was of the devil or not of the devil. Yeah. On several occasions, they did that.
The prophet that done that could not be of the devil.
Right. So here's some of the things that I noticed. Number one, Jesus was the answer to everything.
Amen.
Okay? And we need to keep that in mind. You are introducing people to Jesus. You are bringing them to Jesus. Jesus is the source of the anointing. Jesus is the source of the healing. Jesus is the source of the power, not you. You don't have to rely on yourself. It is Jesus. They came to Jesus. And everything that I talk about, everything that is said, I want to state right up front, it's about Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus took the stripes. Jesus is the one that gave us healing. And the people that recognize that they can receive from Jesus, they have an unlimited source of life for the rest of their existence. You know, so healing comes from Jesus. He's the one that set captives free. It's faith in Him that causes you to receive healing. It's not a process. I've said this recently. We don't have faith in a process. We have faith in the person of Jesus. We can trust Him. Amen? Now, Jesus was very confident. He always was everywhere He went. As far as I could see, not one single person that He prayed for, not one single person that He ministered to walked away sick. He healed every single one of them. Now, am I God's representative? Am I Jesus? Am I the body of Jesus?
Yes.
Are we the body of Jesus?
Yes.
Then we should see 100% healing too.
And greater things shall you
do. And greater works, just like Jesus said. Now, keep this in mind. Jesus didn't minister to everybody. Okay? Do you remember the pool of Bethesda? He went into this pool where there were all these sick people lying around. He went up to one person and he said, "Do you want to be healed?" Now, why did he go up to this one person? My guess, he was being led by the Spirit. The Spirit said, "Go minister to this person." For what reason? I'm not sure, other than it is in the Bible. And we see this story. And it says that he went up to him. He said, "Do you want to be healed?" And the guy said, "Well, I can't get into the water. When the angel stirs it, someone else always gets there first." He had been sick for 38 years. He had been lame. And Jesus said, "Take up your bed and walk." And the guy took up his bed. He stood up. He took up his bed and he went home. Then the Pharisees saw him carrying his bed on this, because this happened on the Sabbath. And so he's carrying his bed on the Sabbath. And they said, "What are you doing carrying your bed?" And he said, "Well, the guy that healed me told me to." And he said, "Who was it?" And he said, "I don't know. I don't know. I've been over to pick up my bed and he was gone." Basically, it says that Jesus, because of the multitude, left. So Jesus went into this place where there were all these sick people, prayed for that one, or ministered to that one man, healed him, and then left. So he didn't minister to everybody, that we know.
So he didn't heal everybody.
Not in that story.
Okay, so in his walk period, when he went from town to town, he didn't heal all the sick.
Now there are countless scriptures, just bunches of them. That's part of the topic. Everyone that came to him received their healing.
Yes.
See that? Everyone that came to him received their healing. They reached out. They touched the hem of his garment. They touched him. They came to him. People brought people to him. Now, in the pool of Bethesda, he went into the pool and nobody else knew who he was. Nobody knew that he was there to pray for his... Nobody knew who he was. They weren't calling out to him. He went to this one person specifically. But everyone who reached out to Jesus to receive healing did. You see the difference? I mean, you can walk through the hospital and nobody call your name. But one person say, "Hey, come here." And you go into them. That's different. You can walk by sick people and they not even call on you. Jesus did that, apparently. Now, but the people that called on Jesus, reached out with their heart to take hold of Jesus, they received. Every single one of them. Now, not every single person knew who he was. That's why we have preachers today. That's why we have the body of Christ, to tell people who Jesus is. We introduce them to Jesus, and they will find healing. Okay? So it was interesting that he disappeared. And then he found him later and said, "Oh, you're the one that healed me." He didn't hang around. He took off. So, now, that being said, this occurred on the Sabbath. And I went through, and as I studied all of these passages, I learned that it says three different times it talks about Peter's mother-in-law. Do you know the story? Peter Jesus was ministering at the synagogue right next door to Peter's house. After church, he came over to Peter's house, and he was going to have lunch with them. And Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. And they said, "Can you come minister to her?" He went in there, took her by the hands, commands the fever to go. The fever left, and she got up and started serving all of them lunch. And it says, the very next verse in all three of those instances, it says that when the sun was set, when the sun went down, when evening had come, they brought many who were demon-possessed, and he cast the spirits out with a word and healed all who were sick. He healed all who were sick. And to answer your question, he did go around, and it seems whenever great multitudes gathered around him, he healed all that were there. But these are people that came to him. He would be there. They gathered around and they started listening to him. And that was a big thing that I saw. One of the other things that I saw is many times it says they heard him. They heard him preach. They heard him speak. They watched him heal the sick. And that stirred up faith in their hearts. So faith plays a very big role in receiving healing. Even in these massive crusades where Jesus was getting everybody healed, the people believed that he could heal them. So faith is a very big part. So sometimes you're going to run into someone who has no faith. What do you do in that situation? Do you remember the story of Jesus going into his hometown? While he's in his hometown, it says he could there do no mighty works. Why? Because of their unbelief. So unbelief was a big hindrance. When he talked with the disciples, a man whose son was demon-possessed or was epileptic, they brought him to the disciples, and they could not cast the demon out. And Jesus said, how long do I have to put up with this faithless generation? That in itself said, you should have been able to do it. So that should give us confidence that we should be able to cast the demons out. And speaking of that, I'm going on all my topics all at once. Probably at least a third or half of the stories that are written in the New Testament about people getting healed also mention casting out the devil or dealing with the devil. That is a big part of Jesus' healing ministry, was commanding demons to go. Because it says they brought the demon possessed and all those were sick. And so rebuking the devil is a big part, not just a little part, a big part of ministering to the sick. Well, some people say it's probably sin. As far as I could find, I only saw two instances where Jesus talked about sin. But I found a bunch of instances where he talked about rebuking the devil. Okay? And so is sin, yes, it can be one of the things that keeps a person from receiving healing. But Jesus didn't deal with that a whole lot. I only know of two instances. So there might be more, but I did find those. But I did see that was not as common as rebuking the devil, setting people free from the devil. All right, so I've gone on all of these topics. So where was I? Let's go back to the Sabbath. Jesus, at sundown, Jesus ministered to Peter's mother-in-law. Then at sundown, they brought everyone who was sick, and they prayed for them. Well, why did they wait until sundown? because the Jewish day ran from sundown to sundown. So the end of the Sabbath was at roughly 6 p.m. on Saturday evening. And so they all showed up on Saturday night to get prayed for. In fact, the Pharisees said, "Hey, there's 6 days a week you can get healing. Why don't you come on one of those? Quit getting prayed for on the Sabbath." And so I started thinking about this. Why did Jesus pray for people on the Sabbath? Because, let me show you this. Okay, I told you about Peter's mother-in-law. That was on, let me find the passage here. Oh man, there's so many of these things here. Oh yeah, and then I was talking about unbelief being in his hometown. All of these things. So the Sabbath. Who else was healed on this Sabbath? Where did my... I'm missing that page. It's in here. Okay, here it is. Peter's mother-in-law was healed on Sabbath. Man with dropsy was healed on the Sabbath. Woman who was hunched over with an infirmity, she was healed on the Sabbath. The withered man with a withered hand was healed on the Sabbath. The story of the pool of Bethesda, that was on the Sabbath. The man born blind was healed on the Sabbath. All of these were stories of Jesus healing on the Sabbath. Now the Pharisees said, "Y'all just stay home. Don't go anywhere until the Sabbath is over, then come get your healing." And I thought, why didn't Jesus just do that? Why, you know, he could have, at Peter's mother-in-law's house, he could have said, "Well, it's about 12:30 right now. If we wait till 6, I can pray for her and we don't violate any laws. And she'll be well." Why did Jesus just go ahead and minister to people even though it was the Sabbath? One of them is compassion. He loves people. God loves his children. And he hates to see anybody suffer. The word compassion actually means, I refuse to let you continue in this situation for a minute longer. That's what compassion is. Compassion is when you see a need and you refuse to let that need, that problem continue, and you meet that need immediately. That's compassion. That's when you have compassion for someone. So there's numerous stories of Jesus being moved by compassion. And I can show you all of these, but I only have so much time.
Did he break the law when he was here on the Sabbath?
Well,
because it wasn't word, it was
no, well, he went on to say the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Right. And so he declared that he had the legal right to heal on the Sabbath. But when I thought about that, the Pharisees saying, just come after 6. Wait till after 6. Quit coming early. Come after 6 and then get prayed for. Because this was a major contention. This is what sent Jesus to the cross. Was one of the things that he kept healing people and breaking the law on the Sabbath. And so I thought about this, and the only thing that would keep a person, because Jesus said, which is, you know, if you had a donkey that fell into a ditch, you'd go pull him out. And isn't a human being more important than a donkey? You know, and he showed compassion and love, and he was demonstrating the love of God for his children. And so here on the Sabbath, he's healing people on the Sabbath. And if he had said, let's just go by the law. Ooh. That's legalism.
Yeah, yeah.
That's religion.
Yeah.
That's works. That's receiving your healing based on works. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was demonstrating that healing was not a product of works. It was not a product of keeping the law. It was not a product of what you do. You are healed because God loves you and because Jesus paid the price for every single sickness. And the overall picture is he redeemed you from every curse of the law that came about as sin. Not only did he redeem you from the effects of sin, he redeemed you from sin itself.
Yes, yes.
He gave you the new nature. So you have a nature of Christ, and so since you have the nature of the new nature inside of you, then anything that related to the old nature does not belong in you.
That's right.
Sickness was not around in Adam and Eve prior to the fall. And if it wasn't around then it doesn't need to be in you now. You can be free from sickness and disease. So Jesus demonstrated that he loved people, that there was no need to wait. Some people say, I'm waiting for God to heal me. Jesus never waited to heal a single person. I told you 6 or 7 stories of Jesus healing the sick on the Sabbath when he could very easily have said, wait 6 hours and then I will pray for you. Then I will heal you. Just wait. Jesus never waited to heal the sick. So if you're waiting on your healing, stop. Receive. Stop waiting to receive your healing and just receive your healing now. I believe that the fact that he healed on the Sabbath so many times, he said, you don't have to wait. You do not have to wait. Now, like I've said, faith plays a big role in all of this. And we don't have the story afterwards, you know, because when you leave the presence of Jesus, the devil wants to come back and the devil wants to harass you. And so it's much better to get it on your own faith, because then you have the faith to resist the devil when he comes back and tries to attack. And so, yes, faith plays a big role. And yes, you need to learn how to operate in faith, not just receive the gifts of the Spirit. But Jesus never left anyone who was sick or diseased sick. And numerous times it uses the word either immediately or that same hour, meaning immediately. Okay? They received their healing immediately. And so healing is not something that you have to wait for. You can receive healing immediately. In ministering to the sick, one of the problems Jesus ran into was unbelief. They were familiar in his hometown. They were familiar with him. They knew who he was. They couldn't believe that this carpenter's son, who grew up kicking the ball down the street in their hometown, could actually be out there doing these kinds of miracles. Not him. He was a nobody. Come on. Not him. And so sometimes familiarity breeds unbelief. You get real familiar with the process. You get real familiar with your sickness. You get real familiar with the medicine. You get real familiar with what the doctor says. And you put all of your confidence in other things rather than Jesus. So familiarity will breed unbelief, because that's what you're familiar with. I'll say that the pharmaceutical companies of America have a better marketing program than the Church of God. Watch TV. You watch TV and tell me how many commercials you see about God's divine health.
70%
are pharmaceutical. Yeah, and that explains, you know, they're paying for that from the cost that they receive from medicine. So, all right. So we need to learn how to trust in Jesus. We need to learn how to put our faith in him. We need to learn how to cry out to Jesus. Everyone that cried out to him. There was the story of the man who had his son was sick. And it said he implored him to come down and heal his son. He came and said, please come heal my son. Now here's a scripture too. Do you remember the story of the 4 that were lowered down?
Yes.
One man was lowered down, 4 men lowered him. I have to be careful. I don't want to say the 4 men dropped him through the roof. Okay? They lowered him through the roof. Of course, if they dropped him, he wouldn't have been any more crippled. All right. Not very good. So, when they lowered him, I usually use the reference in Luke chapter 5 for that story. But oh, I got 16 pages of scriptures here. I just got to find the story. So in Luke, it tells the whole story, but in Mark, it tells the story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in Mark chapter 2, verse 2, it precedes the story by saying this: immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. I always use the story in Luke, and it doesn't say anything about him preaching the word to him. It just says the power of God was present to heal. Well, the power of God was present to heal because he preached the word to them. Hearing the word, having faith in what Jesus says, having faith in Jesus is critical to receiving healing. But let me tell you, there's sometimes you're going to go minister to the sick. We were invited to minister to the sick in Slovenia, and it was two men that had had strokes, and they're laying in hospital beds. One of them couldn't see, and one of them couldn't hear. And I had 10 minutes to be there. 10 minutes in their room. What am I supposed to do? Jesus said, heal the sick. So I'm going to stir myself up to heal the sick. And there are times where you are not able to just stand there and preach the word. Now, there's a story of Jesus. He was ministering on the Sabbath day. The guy who had dropsy. Do you know what dropsy is? Edema. I don't know what edema is, and I don't know what dropsy is. But according to the internet, dropsy is extremely swollen hand or feet, extremely swollen limbs due to water retention. I mean, when your arm, instead of being this big, is this big, and you can just see it, or you can see the leg, and it's just super swollen. This is super water retention. So Jesus was ministering. This is in Matthew chapter, or actually Luke. Okay. Seems like I had that in Matthew 8. No, it's Luke 14. So Luke 14, it says that, now it happened when he, Luke 14, 1, and when he happened, he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath. So again, he's ministering on the Sabbath. He taught in the synagogue, and then he went over to the Pharisees' house in order to have lunch with them on the Sabbath. And they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. Now, that's all it says. It doesn't say that Jesus went in to minister to this man. It doesn't say that this man showed up there knowing that Jesus was going to be there. All it indicates is that Jesus walked into the house and there stood a man with dropsy. Jesus, whenever he came across the sick in this situation, several times it mentions he was just moved with compassion. He was walking down the street and they carried a coffin of this young man down the street. And the mother was crying that she had lost her son, the only man child, the only relative she had. And out of his compassion, he went over there, laid hands on the boy, and raised him from the dead. This was compassion. This is the way Jesus thinks. This is the way Jesus sees you when you are sick. He has compassion and wants to see you healed. Like I said, we don't pray for the sick, we heal the sick. Amen. We are called to heal the sick. So this story, Jesus apparently just walked in and here's this man with dropsy. And he turns and he asks, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Well, that's kind of an old King James way of saying it. But what I would say is he probably turned and he said, I know it's the Sabbath, but is it okay if I pray for him? Is it okay if I heal him? See, I'm still working on changing that. So I have to correct myself every time I say that. Is it okay if I heal him? He probably said, hey, listen, I know it's the Sabbath, but is it okay if I heal him? Because he did not want to see this man go one more minute with this condition. This is the compassion of the Lord. You don't have to wait for healing. You don't have to wait for anything to anything to line up. You don't have to wait until you've done everything right. You don't have to wait until you've kept all of the law. Jesus wants to see you healed right now, immediately, today. And so, it says that he took the man. He just said, is it okay if I heal on the Sabbath? Is it okay if I heal him, even though it's the Sabbath? They just like, I'm not saying anything. And it says that Jesus, he took him, healed him, and let him go. That took him and let him go both means captive. So when he saw him, Jesus must have just grabbed him and held him and healed him and refused to let him go until he was healed. See this? Jesus took him. He would not let go until he was healed, and then he let him go. That's the way Jesus wants to work with you. He wants to lay hold of you. He wants to get himself inside of you. Heal anything and everything that is stopping you from receiving healing and not let you go until you are whole.
Praise God.
Amen? And I don't think Jesus went looking for this guy, but here's this guy. He came upon him and he said, I want to see you well. And we need to do the same. We need to be moved with compassion. You know, I saw a girl the other day. Her arm was withered. I mean, she had an arm, but it was obviously of no use. It looked like she had been born that way. Her regular arm and her other arm was quite shorter, quite thinner. It was obvious that it had never, like she was born that way. That's what it appeared. She's probably in her 20s. And we were in a crowd. I saw her. I didn't know her. I'm thinking, Lord, I would do something to minister to her, but within a few minutes she had left. So no, I didn't get a chance to minister to her, but I want to at least be thinking, I want to help. And I'm going to look for every opportunity for the Holy Spirit to lead me. There were situations where the Holy Spirit led Jesus directly to a person. The guy at the pool of Bethesda. The guy on the other side of the lake. Jesus was specifically led to that person to heal them. There are other people Jesus came across, and out of his compassion, he just ministered to them because God loves his kids. And he hates to see the devil working in their lives. There were people that Jesus cast the devil out of them, commanded the devil to go. In some cases, not everybody is demon possessed. Some are just demon oppressed. And he had to say, get off of them. In fact, there were far, 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 far more instances of Jesus commanding the devil to go and then talking to them about sin. There were, in the New Testament, there's probably at least 15 or 20 instances of commanding the devil to go. And as far as I can find, only two of him talking about their sin. The guy at the pool of Bethesda, he said, now go and sin no more, lest something worse come on you. And the guy they lowered through the roof, he said, your sins are forgiven you. That was what the guy needed to hear in order to receive his healing. So there was cases where Jesus just helped them receive what God wanted to give them. And then there were situations where people just came and took it. The woman with the issue of blood, she had heard Jesus. She had seen his miracles. She had believed. She believed, she believed, she believed, and she went and she took it. She didn't wait for anything. She didn't care if it was going to cost her life. She was at the end of her road. She said, I'm taking this. But there's others, when Jesus told them, stand up. Stick out your arm. When they heard the word of the Lord, they received faith. And they received. There's all different kinds of scenarios, but the bottom line is, everyone that came to Jesus walked away healed. Everyone that came for healing walked away healed. So you don't have to wait for your sickness or to go. You don't have to wait for some sort of thing to line up. You don't have to wait until you've got everything in order. You can receive your healing today. If you cry out to Jesus, He is ready to change you today. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. I think it's time to go. Thank you for being such a great audience.